We are closing out our Psalm series, Be Refreshed. And so my first question is, how many of you have read at least a psalm a week? Just put that in the comments. If you've read at least a psalm a week, then that's awesome. If you've read more than a psalm a week, then that's awesome as well. But the purpose of this whole time was to be refreshed, was to point back to the source of our living stream. So today, as we close that out, keep that in mind. And I'm really excited about this message. I'm really excited about sharing with you Psalm 30 and what God's been putting on my heart about that. So let's take a look. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from Sheol. You spared me from among those going down to the pit. So the first thing we see here in this psalm from David is the Lord is your protector. This is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise for protection, right? It says, you lifted me up. I will make much of you. I will lift you up. I will exalt you. I will extol you because you protected me from my enemies. David had a lot of enemies. He had enemies outside his own kingdom that were always looking to take back what he took from them as he built the nation of Israel. He had enemies within his own house. We see that he wasn't a great father. And later on, his sons rise up against him. David had enemies he created and others that he inherited. But they all had one thing in common. They were looking to do him harm. Our enemy, the enemy of your soul, is looking to do you harm. The Bible says he is seeking to steal, to kill, to destroy you. But the Lord is your protector. The second thing we see here is the Lord is your healer. David says, I cried out for help and you healed me. Notice that. He healed him. He did not just hear him. He delivered him. He delivered him from himself at times. And where was he? He was in the pit. And since David was down in the pit, in order to be delivered, the Lord had to lift him up out of the pit and set him on the ground. You know, I've had pit experiences. I've ministered to people that are in the throes of addiction and have had pit experiences. And here's the one thing I know. The only way out of a pit is to be lifted from it. You can't dig your way out of a pit. Maybe you could dig a tunnel down and eventually up so that you get out of the pit. But in a spiritual pit, you're there to cry out to God that he is your refuge, he is your hope, and you wait on the Lord for him to lift you up out of the pit. You can't get out. When I talk with people and they say, I'm at my lowest point, Pastor Dan, I don't know what to do. Then they proceed to tell me all the things they are doing. What I say to them always is the same thing. Put down the shovel. You're not going to get out of the pit with the shovel in your hand. Put it down. Wait on the Lord for him to lift you up and out. David is saying, when I'm down in the pit, in my own hell, Sheol here, no place to go, you, Lord, saw me. You saw me sitting there. You saw my heart. You heard me. You heard my cries. You heard my pleas. You healed me. You made me new. You lifted me up and you set my feet on the ground. You saved me. You spared and redeemed my life. The Lord is your healer. He goes on in verse 4. Sing to Yahweh, you his faithful ones, and praise his holy name. Hold on. Sorry. I'll get there. Okay, I lost that slide. So stay with me. Sing to Yahweh, you faithful as one, and praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but there is joy in the morning. His anger, yes. He's saying his anger lasts only a moment. God's anger comes from my sin. He's a holy God. He's a holy God, and sin breaks down my communication and relationship with my God, with my Father. But we all sin. Yes. And that's why God gave us a path, a lamb that covers all our sin, all my sin. John said when he saw Jesus coming, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So though we sin, and he is angry when we do, we who have made the choice, made a decision to put our lives and our wills in Jesus' saving power, not only are lifted out of the pit, not only are set again on solid ground, not only are healed and redeemed, we are favored sons and daughters. Since we are favored, and some of you need to hear this today, and I'm going to be saying that over and over again, you are favored. Joy comes in the morning. You see, his favor comes from his nature. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God full of righteousness and a God who brings hope and healing, especially to the captives, especially to those in the pit. He does not want you to be in the pit. He doesn't want to leave you in the pit. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to build you up and encourage you. He wants to set the captives free. It's how Jesus started his ministry, quoting Isaiah 61:1 and saying, "I'm here to set the captives free, the bound, the broken, the blind, the poor, the hopeless, and declare the year of the Lord's favor." So let's talk about what it means to be favored by the Lord. I'm one of six children, and I am number four of six children. So I was always striving to, through my actions, through what I did, through what I said, to become a favorite, if not the favorite, always trying to enhance my position within my family so I wouldn't get left behind, so I wouldn't be forgotten. I was never left behind, and I was definitely never forgotten, for good or for bad. And it's not because my dad didn't love me, my mom didn't love me. It's not because I didn't know that. It's because I wanted more of it. I wanted to be favored. In Psalms 5, it says, "For you, Lord, bless the righteous one. You surround him with favor like a shield." In Proverbs 16, "When a king's face lights up, there is life. His favor is like a cloud with a spring rain, refreshing again." Renewing again. Favor is approval, acceptance, and delight. Because of Jesus, God approves you. God accepts you. God delights in you. So you might be thinking, okay, I know enough about church. I know enough about religion. So what you're saying, Pastor Dan, is God accepts me if I say what is right. Okay, so God approves me if I do what is right. And God delights in me if I live the right way. No, I am not saying that. God accepts you even though you made the wrong choice. God approves you even when you make the wrong choices now. And God delights in you. Hear this, people. God delights in you even if you make the wrong choices again in the future. That's favor. Because God's love is based on Jesus' sacrifice for you, not your actions for him. I want to say that again, because sometimes the longer we've been in a church environment, we lose that. The grace kind of leaks out of us. God's love is based on Jesus' sacrifice of what he did for you, not your actions for him. There is no quid pro quo. There is no conditional. He loves you, period. His favor lasts a lifetime because his love is eternal. In verse 6, it says, when I am secure, I said, I will never be shaken. God lifted me out of the pit. Lord, when you showed your favor, you made me stand like a strong mountain. And when you hid your face, I was terrified. When I walk in the Lord's favor, I am unshakable, standing like a strong mountain. I am immovable. My faith is secure, and I stand as a monument, a testimony to God's love. Listen, your trial may be the key to your testimony. Your difficulty may be the key to others' deliverance. In your pit experience, when you're down on the bottom and you can't do anything more and you put the shovel away, may be the thing that brings others to be set free. God's angry with my disobedience and my faithlessness, but it lasts but a moment, because when I cry out to him, when I confess to him, he hears me. He lifts me up. He heals me, and he sets me free. He goes on to say, Lord, I called to you. I sought favor from the Lord. What gain is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your truth? What I see David saying here is, what good am I if I give up and just walk down into the pit? Surrender. You can't use me, Lord. Your grace is all-encompassing, but it can't reach me because you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been hanging on to. What good am I? When he lifts us up, we need to remember it's because no matter the journey we took to get there, God sees value in us. That's part of being favored. Delight, acceptance, approval. Whatever that word is that you need to hear today, you need to know that Jesus favors you. The prodigal son story that Jesus tells in the New Testament is an example of this. The son is decided he's a man. He's ready on his own. He takes everything that is owed to him by the father and says, it's time for me to make my own name, my own way. You'll see. He ends up wasting everything. He throws away his money. He wastes his time. He loses his purpose. And in it, we can see as he's with the pigs, thinking, no, I don't deserve much better. He has lost his identity. When he finally goes back just to say, I'll be a servant. See, he's still not seeing his identity any longer as the son, as favored. So he goes back home, and when the father sees him, he rejoices. He runs to him, puts a ring on his finger, puts a robe on his back, and puts sandals on his feet. The ring says, you still have an inheritance. I've not forgotten you. The robe says, you're mine. You belong to me. And the sandals say, this is still your home. See, it says to us, you are never too far away that the grace of Jesus can't bring you back home. Because you belong to your Father, his love never ends. You are favored. He ends this psalm saying, Lord, listen and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You turn my lament into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with gladness so that I can sing to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Other translations say, you turned my mourning into dancing. You took away my mourning clothes, the sackcloth, and replaced them with clothes of gladness that you've given me. So where are you at? Are you lost? Are you broken down? Feeling overwhelmed? Do you feel hopeless? Then cry out to Jesus in your mourning, in your sadness, in your loss, in your anger. He hears you. Jesus lifts you up. Jesus sets you on the ground. He heals you, and Jesus sets you free. What do you need Jesus to do for you? It starts with knowing that you have made a choice to give him your life and your will, your own choice, your own personal choice, not something that comes from your father, your mother, your grandparents, your church, from just being in church, your own personal choice. I want to be really clear on that because I don't want you to miss the favor of God on your life. Next, you need to reach out to someone to walk alongside you. So I'm going to give you two ways right here, even in our social distancing. You can right here in these comments, just type your name, your first name, and we will have somebody reach out to you. You can send us a message right here on Facebook, and someone will reach out to you to pray for you, to encourage you, to walk alongside you. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord? If you don't, send me a message right here on Facebook. I would love to explain to you what that means. If you're not sure, the same way. Maybe you've made that choice, but you're struggling. And you need support and encouragement. Reach out. Send us a message. Type in your name. Let the people that are watching this online be praying for you, even though they don't know how. Be bold, be courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Maybe you need a connection. COVID has robbed you and you feel all alone. This is about the only interaction you get. We have some awesome discipleship families who would love to connect with you. They're not going to push you to do anything you're not comfortable with, but it gives you that connection. If you need a connection like that, send me a message right here on Facebook. Finally, if you feel favored, you feel blessed, you feel refreshed, and you are hopeful, then you have received a blessing, and now you can be a blessing to others. You have received comfort, and now you can be a comfort to others. You have been given hope, and now you can bring hope to others. In 2 Corinthians 1, it says, we are to comfort others with the comfort God has comforted us with or given to us. If we are hopeful, if we are feeling refreshed, then it's time to bring that to others. Who's God calling you to help? Who are you praying for? What's the next step for you? You are favored sons and daughters of God the Most High.